Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand here. Andy Hart there. We are live from Gillette Stadium, the site of a, well, I'd like to say a victory Monday, but Patriots losing a squeaker overtime to the Seattle Seahawks. 23-20 your final score. Lots to get into today. We'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback. We'll be talking with Jonathan Jones, whose penalty in overtime played a big role there in the Seahawks getting in the field goal range. We know he wasn't happy about it. We know his teammates weren't happy about it. No one's really happy about this game, except for people who had the Patriots plus 3.5. Other than that, everybody, there you go. Andy Hart is happy about that one. Other than that, though, around the building already, you can kind of tell. You heard it from Gerard Mayo a little bit this morning. This one hurt. This is a game that they felt they could have won. It's a game I felt they could have won. They had victory within their clutches. Couple of bad plays there, some questionable coaching decisions, bad clock management, and an offense that just cannot seem to put one foot in front of the other when it comes to passing the ball.
Yeah, this was the indication of just how fine the margin for error, there is no margin for error for this football team, because they didn't make a ton of huge mistakes. They still ran the ball. They still controlled the time of possession. They didn't have huge turnovers. They did give up a big play, but they also had a big play on their own side, so those kind of washed out. It's going to be close when they have winnable games. Like, they are just not going to pull away from anybody with the type of passing attack they have right now or lack of passing attack, I guess, they have right now. And I know we'll get into that later, because to me that's one of the biggest stories of the team. Not unexpected.
Right.
I think we've been talking about this for a year plus. Wide receivers, quarterback, and pass protection. Those are all questions for this team. So is it surprising that you can't really throw the football, can't make any plays down the field? And then the flip side of that is it was sort of a slap in the face, because the Seattle Seahawks could throw the ball with Geno Smith. They do have wide receivers, two guys that had double-digit catches for over 100 yards, and it was like, hey, we're not like them.
No.
We're different than them.
We're not like them, and they did not have a running game that they could lean
on.
Patriots did, for whatever you think. Gibson and Stevenson both had good games.
Sure.
I thought going to Gibson when they did was a great change of pace. It worked really well. That's one of the, and we'll talk about this too, but for all the coaching mishaps there may have been, I thought he did pull a couple of good strings there. I thought Gibson at that point was a good button to push. I thought those screens to Hunter Henry early on, which, by the way, there wasn't much of a passing attack, except for Hunter Henry having the game of his life. I mean, he was out there. He was getting open. They eventually adjusted to him. It looked like right at the half, because he didn't see him really after that. And that was unfortunate. But for the first time, it seemed like Brissett and anyone, were developing something there.
And the funny thing is, all summer long, there were two guys that, when they were healthy and they were on the field, Brissett went to with regularity and consistency and were the backbone of some of their successful days on the practice field.
Right.
It was Hunter Henry. So we saw that yesterday. They're comfortable. The old vets, they might not be as good as they once were, but they can still make some plays. And the other guy was DeMario Douglas. And DeMario Douglas has been on the side of a milk carton. He just has been non-existent. No targets in this game. He hasn't had the impact. Some idiot on this radio station in this time slot said the guy might catch 100 balls this year. Well, we're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit after 2 weeks. And I just, it's so disappointing in a way, because they could be 2-0. Again, an idiot who said they weren't going to win any games, they could be 2-0 right now, and unfortunately you gave one away, and I don't know how many opportunities they're going to have as good as yesterday to win football games. Like, the schedule doesn't do them any favors, and everybody circled this game, right? Winnable? This was on everybody's...
Not me, but everybody else did.
Well,
yeah.
Most people circled this game as winnable, and it was very much winnable. They just couldn't seal the deal in regulation and then in overtime.
Yeah, that's really what it came down to. There was a lot of issues, obviously, with this game, with the way it was coached, with the way it was played.
Yep.
Even on defense, you know, as good as the defense, we consider this to be a strong defense. I thought that they played mostly a good game, except in certain situations where they really broke down. And you saw that at the end of the game. You saw that at various points. That touchdown to Metcalf was a big breakdown right in front of everybody, with no safety help and everybody just sort of looking the wrong direction. And, you know, listen, they only gave up 3 points in the second half, so it's tough to get too hard on the defense here. But it was a group effort. Special teams, not good. Offense, come on. And the defense, in situations where you needed them to make a stop, just weren't able to. And that's unfortunate, because you thought you could at least rely on one of those three things. Generally the defense, sometimes special teams. And, hey, even with the offense, if they can just give you enough,
wasn't quite enough today, or yesterday, I should say, and that's that was the difference.
And you got to 20, and I think, I don't know how many times this team is going to get to 20.
Good point.
And I think they should probably feel like, and Keon White came to the podium. It went Jacoby Brissett and Keon White. And Keon White, who sort of did his part, continued to be a thorn in the side of quarterbacks, had an early sack of Geno Smith, came to the podium and said, Jacoby just spoke, those guys did enough today. We have to do more. And that is a little different than last year when it was guys coming to the podium saying, well, we gave up 6 points. I guess we can only give up three and try to win football
right.
games. So there was a, I would say, representative effort by the offense. It's got to be better. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. This is, you're not going to win football games just running the football in 2024. That is not a realistic approach. And I know Jerod keeps saying the same thing. We're going to run the football. You got to stop us. And they didn't. Seattle didn't. And they still won the football game. That you have to have a passing attack. And the bulk of the passing attack yesterday was Jacoby Brissett running and then kind of flipping it,
yep.
flicking it, right? Little to a couple early ones to Hunter Henry, where he even had like an athletic pump fake and then threw it.
That play where the linebacker was like nose to nose with him and he's just
yeah.
flinging it out to Henry. That
it's
was,
not sustainable.
No, you can't do
At
that.
At some point,
every,
you yeah. need a regular passing attack, and they haven't. The wide receivers are non-existent in this passing game. And I know Jerod Mayo said that's on the coaches. We got to push it down the field. That's on the coaches. Sure, some of it's on the coaches. Some of it is on the pass protection, mm-hmm. which we talked about it last week. It got overblown. I know Jerod doesn't like, yeah, we are overblowing the offensive line. Basically, 50% of the time last week, you were under pressure. 50% of the time again this week, you're under pressure.
Yep.
It's not quite as bad as the Bears and Caleb Williams, but it's not very good right now. And then you mix in the questionable talent chemistry at wide receiver with K.J. Osborne, DeMario Douglas, who, you know, Javon Baker was
Tyquan
active
Thornton
this week, Tyquan Thornton.
Didn't see him once.
You don't have anybody where you say, my guy's going to win. I'm just going to this guy on this play, which I think that's be DeMario Douglas personally, but they clearly don't feel that way or haven't schemed things up that way. And I also don't know how sustainable it is to continue to ask Ramondre Stevenson to just carry the load. We're
right.
going to need you to carry the ball at least 15 or 20 times every game. I'm going to need you to get us 100 yards. I don't think it's sustainable. I really don't. And I think he's been really good through two games. I think if everybody was doing their job the way Ramondre Stevenson is doing his, this would be a 2-0 football team that we'd be talking about outperforming its talent and increasing expectations. Instead, lost opportunity. Sort of like that Alex Cora wasted days.
Yeah.
Red Sox have wasted days. The New England Patriots wasted a day yesterday because they could be 2-0.
They could be 2-0, trying to go 3-0 against the Jets on Thursday. Short week coming up here. What was the biggest problem with the Patriots yesterday? There's a lot you can choose from. The coaching, the O-line, the wide receivers, Jacoby Brissett, situational football, special team. I mean, really, you pick one. What do you think the biggest problem was?
I am going to go with coaching. Because I don't know that any one aspect of the coaching was horrific,
mm-hmm.
but it just seemed like they kind of got across the board somewhat outcoached, right? The key field goal, they have a nice block, you don't have a good protection. That's coaching,
yep.
right? That's a failure in coaching.
Those happen very infrequently, though. I always consider those to be kind of fluky when
but
that
it happens.
But it did happen.
It
yep.
happened.
Yep.
Offensively, you know, Jacoby Brissett said something I found really interesting, and we'll get into it with him later when we speak with him, that he felt like they had tells for when we wanted to push the ball down the field. Every time we were trying to go down the field, they had a too-high safety look. Are you really tipping your scheme? Are you tipping your plays formationally or whatever?
Well, how creative can they even get?
You know? Yeah, no, I don't know. And then defensively, one of the biggest plays of the game was a miscommunication in terms of a blitz package, a pressure package with Duggar and Gonzalez, and somehow you let the most dangerous guy on the football. This always amazes me. These teams spend 7 days preparing.
I know.
And hours and hours and hours, and they let the most dangerous guy on the football field just run down the field. If you're going to make a mistake, isn't it, well, I'll run with him, and if they catch something short, hopefully one of my teammates will tackle. I always find that ridiculous. Like, the most dangerous guy on the field, and you leave him uncovered for a 50-plus yard touchdown. But those things add up, and I'm not saying it was ineptitude, because we haven't seen ineptitude, quite honestly. I thought the beginning of the season would be worse in coaching.
I thought the whole thing would be much
yeah,
worse
and
than
it's
we
not.
See even yesterday. I mean, I thought it was going to be much
They're
worse.
They're competitive.
Yeah.
They're competent.
Yep.
They're putting together a representative effort out there. Just week one, they were able to play it more on their terms, and the breaks went their way.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people that believe in this game, mostly with the officiating, that the breaks didn't go their way. Now, I don't really like to play that game because I think there was bad officiating on both sides yesterday, that both teams I think the losing team was going to bitch about something.
If Jonathan Jones comes in here, I don't know if he's coming in here or not. He called last week. If he comes in here, I'm going to have to, because I thought that was pass interference.
At first glance.
I watched it. I was like, oh, man, that's pass interference. They throw the flag. He's losing his mind, and he doesn't freak out like that.
No.
Like, he's not one of those guys just, you know, crying on every play.
Well, I don't know.
I've never seen him do that.
I don't know how quickly he freaked out because Lockett said that wasn't pass interference.
Right.
And obviously you're going to flip out because the other guy's telling me it really wasn't a flag. I already think it kind of wasn't a flag. I thought at first glance
they were
live,
holding each other.
I thought it was pass interference.
They were slow dancing.
And when you're fighting and fighting and fighting, and then the ball's in the air, I thought the last bit of fighting was Jonathan Jones' side of the fight, and that changes it. And there was a number of controversial pass interference calls across the NFL yesterday. I know late in the Bengals-Chiefs game, there was one that a lot of Patriots fans were bitching about. I watched that after I got off the Six Rings postgame show and said, that's pass interference. The ball's in the air, and you hit the guy before the ball got there. You can't do that. It's literally letter of the law. But my point is, good teams overcome that. Bad teams lose. That's just the reality of it. There was bad officiating for decades here in New England. But generally, you had Tom Brady overcoming it. Now, that fine line is so close. You could have lost to the Bengals, had one of those breaks not gone your way. You did lose to the Seahawks, maybe in part because those breaks didn't go your way.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. And there were a bunch of breaks that you got in that first game. So, yeah, I don't think that you didn't see a touchdown get overturned. You didn't see a guy running in with the ball out and have it slapped out. You didn't see somebody not pull an interception away.
I didn't see anything because the Fox broadcast was awful.
Well, there was that, too.
Because I still want to know what happened on the Ramondre Stevenson fumble. There was just like this fumble that like, nope, yeah, somebody recovered it. You're fine. And, like, you see the ball just blatantly flying through the air.
Yeah.
And I guess they must have been one of
I didn't know if he was down. I didn't know anything.
Well, he definitely wasn't down before the ball was out. And then where was the ball? Was he on it? Who recovered it? Was it an lineman? And this felt like one of those games where you regret being a crappy team because you get a crappy broadcast, which has half the cameras or whatever the percentage less cameras, so they don't have replay reviews. Because there were a bunch of them. There was the play where DK Metcalf hurdled Jonathan Jones, and they're trying to show you whether he crosses the first down. And there was like one angle, and it was the worst possible angle.
It was like a bird's eye, like diagonal
and
view,
I think
and you're like, all right, that doesn't help.
And that's why I think the ref said something to like, the call on the field stands, because I can't see crap in that stupid box they showed me, because we only got two cameras on this low-budget operation here for Fox.
Right. Not a great day for, as he was called by Jonathan Vilma several times, Gerard Mayo out there.
Wiggy taught him well.
That was
thanks, Wiggy.
That was unfortunate.
Spreading.
I think the biggest thing I saw people complaining about anyway online, and I sort of had a problem with it too, obviously, was the clock management at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Going with the pass there on second and third down in your own end, not making them use any timeouts. That was 3 points that you can't get back, obviously. I didn't have a huge, huge issue with that. I really didn't.
Oh, I hated it.
I didn't love it, but I also think that even if you would run and they'd use their timeouts, they're getting the ball back with, what, 45 seconds? They don't have to score a touchdown. If they're getting in field goal range, that's enough time to do that against this Patriots team.
Right, but they weren't great with their situational football either, and they might have screwed it up. So you didn't put any pressure on them, and it was interesting because it was classic. The Patriots have done this for years, regardless who the coordinator was. You run a little draw on that first play, and it's like, well, if we get a few yards, we'll go for it here.
Right.
If we get nothing, then we'll probably just run the ball and try to kill clock. Well, they only got 2 yards, and then they decided to throw the ball. It was kind of counterintuitive. I didn't really – they tried to middle it there, and generally when you try to middle it, you screw it up. And they screwed it up, and they gave Seattle – the opportunity to take advantage, and they did.
I think they caught Seattle off guard a little bit. They still defended the play and stopped it, but I did think there was sort of an element to surprise it because everybody thought they were going to run. So I didn't – I mean, it was in the grand scheme of things. They probably should have, I guess, but I don't know. They would have had the ball back. They could have gotten field goal range. Overall, I liked the play calling in the first half on offense. So
same.
I wasn't going to complain about it too much. They got creative. They put a few very long drives together. You know, they scored on 3 of the first 5 drives that they had. Like, that was all good. You know, that was all good stuff, like things that I watched and thought, you know, there's some progression going on here. This offense seems to be evolving. And then the second half started, and that didn't seem to be the case anymore.
Yeah, the second half,
that was it.
Didn't really involve a ton of offense from either team in scoring and lighting up the scoreboard. And you get back to just the limitations of what this offense is, what it's going to be. The offensive line issues are – there's so many things about this team that are kind of exactly what we – projected it to be, right? I know people don't want to hear victory laps by the media, especially if the victory lap revolves around sort of negative thoughts or problems with the team, but
They had no problem doing a week one victory lap.
Oh, 100%.
Now, God forbid any of us do.
I mean, there were some people doing victory laps yesterday telling me how good Christian Gonzalez is. I don't want to hear that after you allow 330 and 200-yard receivers in a loss at home in a game you should have won.
Everyone keeps pointing to the Metcalf numbers. It's like, yeah, well, he was out there for
whatever.
A lot of yards from both of those guys.
And you lost.
Yeah.
And they Geno Smith made you his you-know-what. For the most part.
Geno Smith led the NFL in passing yards.
Yeah,
well, so far, I mean, there's another game tonight, but so far he's the leader.
So how about we keep the victory laps for Christian Gonzalez's development until another day or later in the week or just something else? Because in the course of the game, Seattle threw the ball when they needed to throw the ball, and that's why they won the game. They didn't have a running back, and you held them very much in check, under 2.4 yards a carry or something like that, under 50 yards rushing. The pass defense, no one on the pass defense, even though Keon White, I liked him. Having a little pressure. I didn't think there was enough pressure in totality.
They started doubling him, and that was
right.
It. I don't think Geno was in trouble once the whole second half.
Right, and that's part of the problem, and that's where the evolution of that defense, and it's what we talked about when everybody was talking about, oh, this defense is going to win games on its own. Is it? Did it win the game on its own yesterday? There was a game winnable for the defense yesterday.
Yeah.
And it couldn't. It couldn't do it when it needed to make stops. It couldn't get the stops it needed, and gave up just a ton of yards through the air, and just that. That juxtaposition between the two teams and what they did, even though we remember coming in, it was all mirror image talk.
Right.
Oh, they got a young defensive coach replacing a Hall of Famer, just like we got a young defensive coach replacing a Hall of Famer. And in some ways, it felt like a game coached by two young defensive coaches.
It did, but I thought they made adjustments.
They did.
I mean, and their adjustments were noticeable.
Gerard admitted that, too, that they adjusted quicker than we did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Mike McDonald and his staff 1, Gerard Mayo and his staff 0 in this game. And, again, it's not train wreck city, but it's the difference between winning and losing. It's the small factors in all three phases of the game that I think cost them in the end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Any silver linings you take away from this game?
Silver linings.
There's some, I think. It wasn't all bad.
I mean, I'll take Keon White and the way he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he gets double teamed and teams start taking him away, that's a net advantage. Having a guy like that on the field, the other teams need to scheme for.
Yeah.
We talked about it. You lost your two guys that are like that. You traded Judon, and Barmore is not available. So to add a guy, now, the dream would be like, huh, imagine if Barmore was out there. That'd be great. They couldn't double both of them, blah, blah, blah. But to have a guy like that, that benefits the rest of the group. So that's a silver lining. The running backs are a silver lining. So far, they especially this week for Antonio Gibson, the totality of 2 weeks for Ramondre Stevenson, if they stay healthy, they look like a team because of their running backs, more than because of their line, are going to be able to run the football. That's a silver lining.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett didn't get killed when I thought at times it looked like he might not get up.
I thought he was going to be getting carted off.
Like, that's a silver lining.
After that
him.
Leonard Williams sack, I was like, he was like screaming and reaching for his leg. I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
looks like it's Mayday.
I thought broken immediately there because it almost looked like it went like dangly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's not good.
And that first, the first sack where he got chased down and like pulled down from behind, I was like, well, that didn't look right.
Yeah.
A couple of ugly
and
ones.
I know
we'll ask him how he's feeling when he gets
some
here.
People, for better or worse, fair or not fair, were hoping for it. Some people were hoping that the Drake May time begins. I don't know that I'm really there yet. Like, if I go back to the first half, Jacoby Brissett running around and throwing was productive.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
It was the best he looked throwing the ball at all.
I dare say entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entertaining first half of offense from Jacoby Brissett and that group.
A wide receiver caught a touchdown pass?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I mean,
it's the only one of three catches they made in the whole game.
Then the wide receivers went to Chuck E. Cheese and celebrated because they did not play the rest of the way, apparently, because they were non-existent.
No, they really were not. So a couple of silver linings. My silver lining is basically the offense, I thought, was very, very rough. I thought the defense made some huge mistakes. The special teams was bad.
Wait, these are silver linings? Do you not know what silver lining means?
Will you let me finish, please?
Oh, because it's a lot of negative lead-in.
All of that happened, and they still had a chance to win. All of that happened, and they were still a field goal away. Yes, before I was interrupted so rudely, that all of that went wrong, and they still maintain, they didn't turn the ball over, which, again, is something I think you're going to see a lot of this year.
Well, they didn't
factually.
You're going to
see a lot of games where they don't do it, yeah.
Ramondre dropped the ball, and I don't know where it went.
And something happened, but we'll never know the truth of that. But, yeah, like, they didn't, it wasn't, there weren't a whole lot of horrible plays where you watched it and just said, oh, my God, this team's hopeless. This team has no chance. I watched that game thinking, man, things aren't really going right for them in a lot of different aspects, and they're keeping it close, and they're a tough out. And that's really what this season's going to be about, I think. This is a tough draw of a team. I don't think anyone's going to have a real easy time with them. They may have games that they lose by a couple of scores, but this is a competitive team. They're going to be there.
And physical.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think the tackling was as good they were ridiculously good in Cincinnati in terms of tackling. It wasn't nearly as good. Like, there was one from Gonzalez that bothered me on Charbonnet, where Gonzalez dove at his leg short of the sticks,
right,
and he was able to just kind of fall lunge forward for the first down. You got to actually hit him there. You got to try to wrap him up and prevent him from getting to the marker. But in general, this team's going to hit you. This team is going to compete. And guys like Peppers and Jonathan Jones continues to hit a little bit.
Yeah.
For a guy that isn't overly large, he's not afraid to throw his body around.
Jabril Peppers was doing flips and stuff. Like, he was all over the place.
Not sure that was productive.
I don't actually ever saw him hit anybody.
Right. Like,
he was
like, there's a pile, and he just dove over the pile, and I was like, what was the point of that?
It's like Cirque du Soleil. He's like just flying by.
You didn't even grab
like,
the guy with the ball. But I appreciate the effort. It might be a little Jim Hero try-hardy, but they're going to hit people.
He's
they're
got the guardian cap. That's why. He feels like he can do anything.
I wanted to – he was talking about – did you hear him talking about he was wondering how hot it was going to be because there's no holes in it?
In the
and
guardian
I had never
cap?
Thought of that. Because there's holes in your helmet. There's the two ear holes,
the ear
and
holes,
then there's
right,
a few
sure,
other
yeah. –
and those have
no holes.
Does
the cap cover the ear holes?
It covers everything, yeah.
It does.
So
okay,
I bet you it makes it hot in there.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, the potential gains, theoretical gains in protecting your head might be worth it.
Might be.
Or
unless you're diving head first into the ground on every play.
Or here's an idea. Just put holes in the guardian cap where the holes in the helmet are.
That could work.
Let a little airflow.
Then again, I'm not a brain doctor, so I don't know. I don't know these things.
Oh, I'm not either, but I'm also, if you cut a hole in it, then the air will go through the hole.
That does stand, you know, even...
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist either, but that does make sense. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We are live here at Gillette Stadium. We'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett at some point in the afternoon. Penciled in at 3 o'clock. Who knows when that'll actually be. Also, Jonathan Jones will join the show at 4 o'clock. We got a lot more to get to here, including some questionable coaching mistakes that we saw over the course of all four quarters of that game yesterday. We'll do that right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.